All right, we can move on to item number 13, review of Lower Columbia River Sturgeon Management Policy C-3001. This is a briefing. Cindy LaFleur, Region 5 Fish Program Manager. Commissioner Jennings?
Before we get started on the sturgeon briefing, just a process question, because the sturgeon question management is part of this overall process and scope of what we're looking at, and yet the draft policy we just put out is only on salmon. So will we be adopting it? How do we align our policies of salmon and sturgeon with this overall Columbia River process?
Good question. And I was assuming staff would help us understand that. Was that part of your presentation, Cindy?
Hopefully.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners. I'm Cindy LaFleur, Region 5 Fish Program Manager. And with me is Brad James, our Sturgeon Program Manager. And we're here to give you the annual update on the sturgeon in the Columbia River sturgeon population. So the purpose is to provide you with the annual review, which is consistent with your policy. The population we're talking about is the Lower Columbia white sturgeon population, which is defined as the population that primarily inhabits the Lower Columbia River and tributaries, but also migrates out into the coastal waters of Washington and Oregon. And just to note, we're not talking about the population that resides above Bonneville Dam. These are the topics that we're going to go over today: stock status, predation rates, in-season management actions, including fish harvested and unharvested, inside and outside the Columbia River, bycatch, and recommendations and other information. You do have a policy in place for sturgeon, which goes through 2013 currently. However, you amended that policy this year in 2012, and those, I'm just pulling up the pertinent amendments that you made to the policy. One of the pertinent amendments was to have the harvest rate be 16% this year. That shows the harvest number a little over 10,000. And that the harvest guideline for 2013 was going to be determined after we get an idea of the population status. So the first several slides are going to be on stock status. And just to go over how we estimate the abundance of sturgeon, we've got two methods that we're using: tagging fish and recapturing them. One is where we sample our sport and commercial fisheries for tag recoveries. The other one utilizes a set line. Oregon Fish and Wildlife is currently doing this, where they get recoveries. The set line based estimate is available within a few months, so Oregon Fish and Wildlife just finished their work about a month ago on this, and the other piece of it is that it includes all the different size segments of the population, because you can catch all the different sizes in the set line fishery. In our sport and commercial fisheries, we're limited to the legal size fish. We also look at CPUE data from our sport fishery, and then we have a sub-yearling index that's also conducted by Oregon Fish and Wildlife that gives us some ideas on the trends. So here's the population estimates, and there's two methods here. And so looking at the left-hand side where it says historic method, this is the method that we've done, for maybe 20 years.
Those first estimates we made were back in, 1986.
Okay. And this method gives us All of these numbers here are the legal size population. So it doesn't include the small ones or the bigger ones. The historic method gives us a population estimate for the previous year. So we have an estimate for 2011. The set line method actually gives you an estimate for this year. So 2012, we have an estimate. And then additionally with the set line method, so I'm moving from left to right, you can do a projection for the next year. And then on the far right in this table is the harvest guidelines that were in place for the last few years. So just a couple of comments. Looking at the 2011 line, because that's where we have numbers all the way across, and in comparing the two methods, the historic method said about 73,000, the projection for the set line method said 77, the actual estimate after the fact is about 80, so relatively close to each other. And then in 2012, of course, we don't have the historic method yet. The projection a year ago when we projected the 2012 number, it was for 65,000. Now that we have the actual data, it's a little bit better than that, around 73,000. And then for 2013, you can see the projection there for 74,000. So where we're, let's see, I know you heard probably some about what the work group talked about. The work group talked about what happened to the 2012 population. And so if you look at the actual, it went from 80,000 to about 73,000. However, we are projecting a slight increase in 2013. And this next slide shows that information graphically. So the historical numbers are the historic method. And it's a little bit hard to see, but the last four diamonds on there are the set line method in the green, and then in 2013 is the projection. So generally since about 95, the population was fairly stable and showed some decrease in trend. Again, this is just the legal size population. And it appears in recent few years that we've kind of stabilized. The other piece of information on the stock status is the catch per effort in the sport fishery. The top graph shows the legal catch rates, and fairly stable for a number of years. We did see a decline about 4 years ago on that top graph, and that has stabilized, and there's a slight uptick in the most recent year. With the sublegal catch rates, we started to see a decline in 2004, and then since 2008, that appears to have stabilized. Another indication of stock status includes, this is the over legal size catch rates in the gorge. This is in the area where the primary spawning occurs. And this trend is decreasing, and one of the reasons for that is the fishery regulations that we've implemented over time, increasing the time and the area of the sanctuary to reduce the handle on the oversized fish. There may be other reasons for the decline in the handle rates as well. This shows that same information for the Willamette River, and it's been an increasing trend. There's also been an increasing trend in the estuary fishery as well. Now, there is a spawning sanctuary in the Willamette River currently. Whether or not that needs to be modified, I think, is a question. And then this is the sub-yearling production index. We don't have a very long database on this, but these are fish that are less than a year old. So it's the result of the spawning in that current year. Is it the current?
Correct, yes.
And this is an index, and we at this point we don't have a means to tie this into. We can't say what this really means in terms of numbers of ultimate numbers of fish. So it's an index. As we build upon it, we should be able to use this to give us more indicators. And this is the predation slide. This I think this is a slide that the Corps of Engineers put together. It's sea lion numbers and consumption of white sturgeon in the area just immediately downstream of Bonneville Dam. It's within about a mile area. So it's not all of the predation. It's just the predation that they observe while mostly they're standing on the dam itself. So the blue bars are predation from California sea lions. And the blue line, you can see that has declined, actually, and fairly significantly in recent
years. Well, these are just numbers of...
Oh, those are the numbers.
Numbers of sea lions.
Okay. Okay.
Maximum and average.
Okay, sorry. So these are just numbers of critters that are up there. So the California sea lion numbers have decreased, while the red line and the red bars are the stellar sea lions, and those numbers have increased. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Jennings has a question.
And along with the two different sea lion numbers, there seems to be a different size targeted, price size targeted or not? I was thinking that the stellars seem to be going after the larger individuals.
Yes, Commissioner Jennings. By far the vast majority of predation of sturgeon is by stellar sea lions. Very, very low by California sea lions. Traditionally, what we were initially seeing was focus on adult-sized fish. My general sense was that where sturgeon distributed themselves up there in the gorge, all sizes of sturgeon were there right at the dam, but as soon as you moved a few miles further downstream, you got into an area where adult-sized sturgeon tended to hang out during the winter, either prior to spawning or it was just an area for feeding, that type of thing. And so they were being targeted by the stellars up in that particular area. My staff have mentioned that they're starting to see a shift in the size of fish that the stellars are going after. It now appears that they're going after pretty much what's ever out there. So it could be a function of numbers of adult-sized sturgeon in the gorge declining to a point where they're taking advantage of whatever else is there.
Right, and I guess there's at least two possible explanations for that decline in the brood size. One is there's a lot fewer individuals, which would be very concerning.
Right.
And another one that I heard this morning expressed during the public comment was because of the stellar sea lion's presence, that some of the larger individuals probably have moved down gradient. And so they're more dispersed than they were before. Does that resonate with you? Or?
Yeah, I believe that's occurring.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll move on to fisheries. So this table shows the harvest and the allocation for this year. The sport fishery in the estuary harvested just about, the allocation was about 4,200. Actual harvest was closer to 4,500. The area above, upstream of Wana power lines, so most of the river, was just under their allocation. In the Willamette River, again, a couple hundred under the allocation. For the sport fishery, total allocation was about 8,000 and the harvest was about 7,900. In the commercial fishery, the allocation of 2,000 and 1,900 was actually harvested. So the combined total allocation, 10,000, almost 100, and about 9,800 harvested. So in terms of fish left unharvested, it was 148 on the sport allocation, 174 on the commercial allocation, for a total of 322. In terms of in-season management, one of the things that we did intentionally was to extend the fishery in the estuary. The sport fishery in the estuary was originally scheduled to continue through July 8th. That was our estimate of how long that allocation would last. In season, we started running out of fish, and we made a decision to transfer some fish, primarily from the Willamette, but some from the upper area, to the estuary to get them just through the 4th of July. So that's why that allocation is a little bit higher in the estuary, or the actual catch is higher in the estuary. The fishery in the Willamette was scheduled to be 4 days, and because of the very small quota in there, it lasted 2 days. Outside the Columbia River, so this graph is just showing harvest in Washington waters. The blue line is the tribal harvest, and that's primarily by the Quinaults in Grays Harbor. In Grays Harbor. The kind of gold color is the non-Indian commercial, and that's in Willapaw and Grays Harbor, and then the sport is Willapaw, Grays, and Puget Sound. So for 2012, when we reduced the Columbia harvest guideline, we did the same thing in Willapaw and Grays. And then in the Puget Sound, we reduced the season to 2.5 months from a year-round season. So all of the fisheries outside the Columbia reduced following what the Columbia did. In Oregon, let me see. I don't have the most recent data, but generally in the coastal fisheries of Oregon, they've gone from a sturgeon harvest of around 2,000 in the late 90s down to just under 400 in 2010. So they've reduced their overall catches as well, which is consistent with our policy. So in terms of bycatch, we did have an onboard monitoring program for our commercial fishery, and we did some for the sport fishery as well this fall. We don't have the results tabulated just yet. They'll be available next week in a draft format and then in a final report in 2013. We did have a bunch of public meetings in 2012 to talk about sturgeon. We actually were involved in 6 different meetings. 3 we co-hosted with Oregon Fish and Wildlife in Portland, Longview, and Astoria, focusing on the Columbia River. There was one in Raymond, one in Montesano, and one in Mill Creek. We distributed a questionnaire to all the attendees and anybody else who wanted to have a copy, and it covered a broad range of topics, management objectives and fishery regulations. We had about 93 people overall attending all those meetings. This is the questionnaire results, and don't get freaked out by this, but I just wanted to show the green, sort of this line here, are the ones where people agreed with the statement. The number one right here was to have concurrent regulations between Washington and Oregon and the Columbia River. The next most popular ones that people agreed or supported are these kind of shaded ones, and that was protecting the population, protecting the brood stock, the spawning areas, those types of questions. The next most popular ones were on maintaining catch and keep fisheries, and that's these green, the few in here. And then you go down. And then on the disagree, which is the blue, so we had very low response to not having concurrent rules. It's kind of the opposite. These were mostly focused around commercial fisheries, providing year-round opportunity or specific to the commercial fishery. So that's where these other shaded blues are. On other information, I mentioned that we weren't really focusing on this briefing wasn't about the population above Bonneville Dam. However, I'm going to just tell you a couple things about it. So each of there's three reservoirs up there, and each reservoir is considered a unique or separate population because they're impounded by the dams. They're distinct from the lower Columbia population, and they're healthy enough to support some tribal and sport harvest. We work through the USV Oregon process to develop annual harvest guidelines that we share with the Columbia River Treaty tribes in those reservoirs. You probably heard some of this morning, but this is what the work group recommendations were on sturgeon specifically. So not to change the overall sport and commercial allocation, but to reduce the allocation by 10% as a conservation buffer, and to consider non-retention fisheries in the lower Columbia, and which includes, because the population that we're talking about, it includes the Washington and Oregon coastal areas and Puget Sound. That's what came from the work group. And then we had our standard sport fish rule process. So we understood some of the things that were in flux. And we put in some placeholders in our sport fishing rule process, which included catch and release only or changes to the areas, size limits, two fish annual limit, and then just some potential changes to gear regulations. Nothing specific, just a placeholder. So what did the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission do? Well, in September at their meeting, they did adopt the two fish annual limit for sturgeon, but then at their December meeting, they changed that to a one fish annual limit, and then they adopted a rule prohibiting retention, not in 2013, but beginning in 2014. So this, I think, gets to Commissioner Jennings' question in terms of policy. You have a policy in place, policy C-3001. It's effective through 2013 with the 2012 modification. That has decision-making authority been delegated to the director in setting specific seasons. So we're asking you to provide guidance to the director to move forward with the staff in developing rules for 2013. And Thank you.
Thank you, both. Okay, any questions? Or Cindy? Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess if you could just repeat what you just said about what you're asking, and then, because today isn't a decision-making day, it was just a briefing, so is that something that you would be asking us to comment on in January? Is that the...
Well, we want to have, again, we want you to provide direction, guidance to the director on how we move forward in January. So our fisheries are scheduled to open our recreational fishery on January 1. So we need some guidance on what do we do on January 1.
Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't keep track of the slide numbers, but I think it was the very first slide where you talked about the historic method of estimating populations and so forth. The 2013 projection jumps up quite a little bit.
You want me to go to it?
I don't think you necessarily have to find the slide, but I just wondered why the projection came up when it looks like everything else is going down.
Okay, well, on this slide, so if you're talking about the 2013, the 74,300,
yes,
it is an increase, and this is just the legal size population. It's just a legal size fish, so between 38 and 54 inches. It doesn't talk about this one smaller than that or larger than that. But if you want to compare, you need to compare it to the 72.7, which is the actual number. So it's just a slight increase from about 73 to 74,000.
Okay, I've just wondered if there was a biological reason for that, or you had some hope that the population actually was increasing. Or maybe some management reason or rule reason.
So when Oregon does go out there to do their survey using the set line gear, they're able to capture fish down to a number of inches below the legal size limit and make an estimate of the abundance of fish of that size. And they can incorporate that into a population dynamics, an age structure population dynamics model. So essentially assigning so many fish to different ages, including the age immediately below the age of the first legal size. So what that model is suggesting is there are a greater number of slightly smaller fish that are due to recruit to the legal size slot by the beginning of 2013, when you factor out all the other losses to harvest and whatnot during this past year. So it's just the size structure of the population in general is going to be feeding a slightly higher number of fish to the legal size segment.
Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At what size do the sturgeon enter the spawning age?
Adult females are, on average, I would say 26 year old fish.
What is that?
And that's it would be equivalent to about a 72 inch total length size.
Director Anderson?
So I know I should know this, but I'm going to ask for some clarification here on where we are in this process. Mm-hmm. What do we currently have in permanent rule for bag limit? I'm assuming the bag limit, the size limit, is in permanent rule. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Yeah. And in our sport rule, process. I think you mentioned that we have some kind of placeholders in the sport rule process for potential consideration for potential changes. So we know that Oregon will implement a one fish annual bag limit effective January 1 of 2013. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they have the same slot limit as we do.
Yes.
And they have the same season as we do.
Yes.
We will need to, we have a quota that's based on the 16% harvest rate with the 10% buffer. Is that correct?
If the work group recommendation is adopted.
In the absence of that being adopted, from a policy perspective, do we not have that 16%?
We do have the 16%, or, well, go ahead, Brad.
The joint state agreement or accord with Oregon spells out what the intent was for 2012, and then for 2013, maybe Cindy can actually read the language in there.
Sorry, Director. Yes, in the modified accord, the language says the harvest guideline in 2013 will be determined after assessments of the stock status relative to recent trends and the management objective of providing population growth. So that was part of the amendment last year. Take another look that for 2013.
Okay. So, sorry, I'm just having to think my way through what we're doing here. So we could do nothing today. We could get, the commission could provide me guidance to implement a one fish annual bag limit and use an emergency rule process to implement that. Follow that up with a consideration during the sport rule proposal and make a final determination on that. But so that the public knows when they're starting to fish in January that if they catch and retain one, that may be the only one they get to keep. So let me go now to the quota piece. We, coming out of the work group recommendations, we had the work group recommendation of catch and release, so non-retention in 2013. Oregon didn't do that, so but they did do the 16% with a 10% buffer. In terms of this commission considering that action and what action they may want to take in that regard, do we have a sturgeon component of the decision making for January reserved or preserved? Because in the policy document, draft policy document that we're putting out for public review, it doesn't have anything about sturgeon in it. We know that at least from the work group's recommendations, we have a difference over what Oregon did. So how do we reconcile that difference? And there may be some consideration of doing something in between, taking a more conservative approach than what Oregon did, and having some discussions over the course of the next month or so to try to resolve those differences and perhaps bring a more conservative approach, but yet not going all the way to no retention in 2013. So I'm talking my way through this because, and a little bit making it up as I go, so. We could reserve an opportunity on the January agenda to revisit, to visit the sturgeon issue as it relates to the differences between the work group's recommendation and the Oregon action, and decide on a course of action from there. In the interim, or between now and then, if you so chose, you could give me guidance to that we want reciprocal regulations, at least for the moment, and to go ahead and institute a one fish annual bag limit for 2013 through emergency rule, understanding that you'll have another bite at that apple in February, and I think we're actually adopting the sport fish regs in March. So we have a little time there to, if you want to reconsider that, you could. So it seems like that way it preserves your options, has concurrent regulations to get us started off on January 1, allows for some opportunity to continue some dialogue should we want to try to convince Oregon to take a more conservative approach than what they've done at this point in time.
You've outlined a good path, I think, Director. Just note, we will have a sport fishery that begins on January 1. It's very minor, so it won't impact really any of the allocation, or it's very small until you make your decision.
Okay. Okay, we need to provide the director with direction.
Is that good?
In regards to this, worries me a little bit that we didn't call this a decision agenda item, but we do need to give the director guidance because the fishery is about to begin. I think if I personally like the idea of putting it on the January agenda, and okay, Cindy.
Thank you. Brad's just bringing up a point to me that our punch cards run from May through April.
Okay.
So we have people that already have more than one fish on their card. And I'm not sure how that works.
Director Anderson?
Well, I think the only option, well, say that. Rather than try to complicate our license year begins May 1 for all of our, so I don't want to try to break up or mess with license year. So that would then lead me to a different conclusion of not taking any action relative to the annual bag limit. We already have an annual bag limit of five. We leave that as is for now. If we want to implement a one fish or some lower annual bag limit, we would make that decision coming out of our sport rule process, which you would make a decision in March, and we would implement that adjusted annual bag limit should you decide to have one May 1. So I wouldn't need any action or guidance. Today.
Okay. Commissioner Jennings?
So first I'm going to go off on a tangent, so bear with me, and then I'll come back to the process. This slide bothers me from a semantics perspective. The set line, actual, I think is the wrong word. It's not an actual, because we don't know what reality is. These are both estimates of what we think. So projected is what we think in the future. Instead of actual, I think it's estimated or refined or some other word, because Cindy, a couple times you used the word, well, the actual population is, and we don't know what the actual population is. Both of these approaches are estimates, one may or may not be better than the other. It's just newer, and we're trying to get our comfort level around it. One of the challenges with this data we've seen is it's focused on the legal size classes. And one of the things about the set method is it does start to get some estimates of the other size classes, which is why their estimate for 2013 says, well, maybe bigger, because that sub-legal class seems to be larger than we thought it was. So I understand that part, but again, I'll get off my soapbox. That's not an actual estimate. That's not an actual number. It's an estimate. I guess coming back to the guidance that we have to provide, I can see dealing with the number as part of our sports fishing regulation package. We've already got a placeholder there. We're dealing with it next month through March. What that doesn't get you is advice from us based on what we said last year, which was if we had to see a decline this year, we don't think there should be a retention fishery. I thought, based on the conversations we'd had between our members of the working group and the Oregon working group, that was part of the deal that we were going to see coming out from both sides as we move forward. What I learned is that Oregon did not adopt that for 2013, and it's there for 2014. So to me, I think one of the questions we have is, I'll say it like this, I don't really mean it quite like this. Do we roll over and go with the Oregon number because they did it first? Do we say, wait a minute, we really think the biology is driving this to put our retention on it now? Or do we say, oh, it's a one season limit for this year, and next year, if the numbers don't look better, we're going to put in a no retention fishery. Oh, wait a minute, next year Oregon didn't adopt that regulation. What are we going to do about it? So I'm just a little frustrated with the process we have with Oregon, where for the last several years we've been raising issues about this fishery in decline. What we're not factoring into a lot of this is what we don't know what's going on. And when I look at sturgeon fisheries management worldwide, we have so much poaching going on, we have so much overfishing going on everywhere, that most of the other sturgeon fisheries have collapsed. And I'm trying to stay ahead of that so we have fisheries into the future. And I'm just getting maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, because the second method that Oregon likes suggests we're getting an increase. When I look at our forecast for salmon, I see how uncertain that is, even with years and years of practice. So that doesn't give me that much comfort to see a slight increase, because really it's a slight increase, and I'm not sure what the parameters of, you know, the confidence intervals are around that number. But relative to 2008 or 2009, that's still a pretty big decline. So it's not like, oh, wait, we've turned the corner, we're coming back. It's really just noise at that lower level. You know, 74 versus 72 is functionally not that different. So that's where my frustration is with the process.
Director Anderson?
I won't speak to the frustration part. I wasn't suggesting that we should accept the outcome that Oregon reached. My suggestion was, or my thought is, that we try to build in a more precautionary approach to the setting of the quota. If we're going to have retention, then the 16% with the 10% buffer doesn't give us a satisfactory level of conservation and risk-averse approach to managing this resource given the decline that we've seen. And so we want a more precautionary approach, and let's see if we can work something that results in a more precautionary approach but doesn't go all the way to a catch and release.
Yep.
That's where I would like to go, frankly, in my discussion. I'd like to try that with having that discussion with Roy Elliker, my counterpart, but with, obviously, if you're comfortable with that approach. Other than that, we'll end up, I mean, if we go with catch and release and they don't, we're not going to accomplish anything, I don't think, from a conservation perspective. We will accomplish a lot of confused members of the public, though.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just having dealt with the sturgeon thing now for only a year, I think without question we have to err on the side of conservation. I'm not real comfortable with what Oregon proposed. I think we should do something more conservative. But having said that, Washington fishermen certainly are mobile, and they can go to Oregon and fish out of Oregon ports. And so, I mean, we have to get agreement with Oregon on a concurrent fishery, or we can't manage these fish. And I don't know how to do that. Maybe Phil or Cindy or somebody knows, but because they were first blush, now we're sort of stuck on that. And I'm not comfortable with it. I don't think we've gone quite far enough to protect the resource.
Other comments? I think the director is looking for some sense from us. Commissioner Jennings, you want to add something?
So, Director Anderson, are you suggesting rather than a 16% harvest plus a 10% buffer that we would just be increasing that buffer so it would actually decrease the total number of fish available for harvest? Is that sort of the process you were thinking about taking back to Oregon?
Yes, build more precaution into the allowance of retention you could reduce the harvest rate, you can increase the buffer, but I suspect the buffer is probably the way to get there.
Right, because in a lot of ways, that resonates well with me. I mean, we heard today the impact on the guides that felt like they were blindsided to this. My sense is that we've, as a commission, have been pretty clear for the past several years this is coming. But on the other hand, if the communication didn't get out and people didn't understand, I'm not looking to catch people off guard or cause a lot of economic hardships. So if we take the approach that you're suggesting, we go to that we're discussing of going to a one fish per year annual limit plus an increase of the buffer for 2013 significantly, then I do think that one sets a clear message that everybody will understand that, in fact, the certainty of the catch and retention fishery in sturgeon isn't clear, that we may be in the next year or two taking off so people can have time to plan for it, and it helps us get some conservation, additional conservation than our current policy has by increasing the buffer so that we maybe aren't following as far behind as we would have if we didn't increase the buffer. So.
Anderson?
Yeah, Matt, I'm reading Guy Norman's mind.
Yeah, I see Guy.
Could I ask him to...
He wants to say something.
Thank you, Chair Wecker, Director Anderson. And mine was a process suggestion. So if we're still deliberating over the course of action here, I can wait on that or I could offer that right now.
Go ahead.
So the past process for sturgeon has been, in terms of whenever we have a policy decision with the commission, is for the commission to adopt a policy and give the director direction to negotiate that with the Oregon director if there's differences between the two commissions. So one suggestion would be that whatever direction this commission wanted to give the director on January 11th, that could be negotiated with the Oregon director through the Sturgeon Accord between January 11th and the compact, which is on January 30th. And then that's when the seasons are set. And so if it is a reduced allocation, it could be reflected in the seizing setting in the January 30th compact after the director has had an opportunity to settle with the Oregon director to try and make sure we have a concurrent direction in terms of total catch. The season bag limit, the one fish bag limit, as Director Anderson suggested, that could be accomplished initially that first part of January with an emergency regulation, or, I don't know, in my view, could wait till January 11th. As Cindy indicated, very limited catch early January. Whether somebody would catch two fish, probably a long shot before mid-January. And if somebody happened to do that, not so sure that it would be that critical in terms of if we implemented a one-fish bag a little bit later. And then in terms of the catch record card, the May through April catch record card, on our catch record card, there is an indicator of what month it's caught. So not necessarily, it could still be used in a calendar year implementation for a, you know, if it is a one-fish bag. So.
Dr. Anderson?
So a couple of thoughts. One, I'm not sure why what the significance of January 11th is relative to beginning discussions with my counterpart in Oregon. I don't know why we'd have to wait till then, but that's one. This one fish bag business, though, that crosses license years, you're right in that you put the date on, but what do you do when you get to August? Do you have to carry both your punch cards? You have to carry the one you were supposed to turn in 4 months ago with you? Which, I mean, I don't get how this works across license years with in a calendar year when you got. I just don't get how we would make that work. So we need
okay.
that one. And do you mind if I add just what is the significance of January 11th? Relative to us getting some conversations going with Oregon.
Well, Director Anderson, I think conversations can certainly start before January 11th. I was just going down the scenario. If the commission didn't make a final decision until January 11th,
then what?
On the total catch number, whether there's catch and release or whether there's an additional buffer on the total catch, if there's differences between what this commission decided and Oregon decided, I thought that we could. Typically, we try and negotiate those through the accord. So,
which is my point.
Okay. Commissioner Mankin?
Yeah, I think one of the missing elements here is to what extent do you limit the buffer? It's what, 10% buffer now, is it? What are we talking about? Do you model this to determine? How do you determine how much you want to cut down on the take in the population?
I think it's a qualitative policy matter. The 10% I don't know came from that there's any scientific or technical analysis of 10% versus 15 versus some other number. I think it was picked as just an additional way to ensure or to try to ensure that you're not over-harvesting the available resource. So and our argument is we think, given what we see here, there's still a significant degree of uncertainty in our mind about the status of the population, and we've already agreed that we want to try to increase the population, and we think that a higher buffer level is needed to ensure that we get that outcome.
Commissioner Jennings.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. So, speaking for myself, I see the logic of having the one fish annual limit start in May and run based on our season, on our license year of May to April. That just seems a lot more straightforward to manage. And how many fish get caught between now and May just gets factored into the quota, so it just reduces the harvest later in the season if somebody goes out and is very productive earlier. So that would be one, as from where I said I would like to have us do. And the second would be to put in a 25% buffer as a starting place for you to take down and negotiate with your Oregon counterpart. You know, currently it's 10. We're suggesting, because we were looking for a full catch and release fishery this year, a 25% buffer plus that one annual helps us continue the conservation effort we've got and really sets up the community to understand that we are having to make changes for the sturgeon fishery that may well be implemented in 2014, and you know, a no retention fishery then, to give people a chance to understand it's coming, and but also address a lot of our concerns about from a conservation perspective. So I'll just say that and say, for me,
very good, Commissioner Mencken. Okay. All right. Well, okay. I heard a lot of different ideas about how we proceed, and we do have a policy document, C-3001. We normally, as Guy said, adopt a policy as the way the commission acts. We don't have this on the agenda as a decision item. But I think it's not difficult to give the direction to the director about our sense of things so that he can begin to discuss this with Oregon. And I think last year there was a high degree of support on the commission for a more conservative approach. And we talked about the decline in sturgeon populations as increasing our concern for the stocks. So I think if we can just go around the table and signify whether you want to give direction to the director to be more conservative and see how far he can go with Oregon, and then present it to us in January as a revised policy document with a decision point on the agenda. How does that sound? Commissioner Kenny?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support Commissioner's Jennings' general direction to the director.
Okay. Commissioner Schmidt?
I concur. Negotiate. Okay. As do I.
Okay. Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, I basically concur. I'd like to see really whatever. I'm not an expert in this area at all, but I'd like to see whatever it takes to start seeing the curve of improvement go up rather than down. I have confidence in the fishery management being able to work that out. I'd also like to see, if at all possible, that there be a one fish retention fishery, at least through next year, until there's more information. But I think conservation should be the highest priority.
Commissioner Smith?
I concur with Commissioner Jennings' philosophy.
Okay. Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My position is similar, but I would delegate to the director to deal with Roy Alcor, Director of Oregon, to find a more conservation-based approach.
Okay. Yes. Commissioner Smith?
Yeah, I think that was the philosophy that I agreed to.
Right. We are authorizing a negotiation, a discussion to begin immediately. And I think we're all very conservation-minded. We're worried about the continuing decline in the legal size population of these fish. So that's the direction of the commission. Director Anderson, do you feel that gives you enough?
The only thing I'm struggling with, and it's totally a process thing, is we have a policy that goes through December 31st of 2013, and we have a delegation of authority in there. And I thought I heard one of you say that we were coming back here for an affirmation of the quota for 2013. Is that right? Is that your intent? I didn't think that was.
I think what we can do is we also have the Joint State Accord, which spells out the quota and the sharing formulas and all of that. And I think that's what we can modify. Right. And that's the director to the director document.
I'll come back and give you an update at your January meeting about how those negotiations go. And
if there is a revision needed to our draft or our policy in effect, you will let us know at that
correct
point, and it'll be on our agenda as a decision item.
Right, but I suspect that what there would be is a change in the accord, which is between the two directors, and not a change in the commission policy. That would be what I would expect to come back with, but...
Okay.
So, thank you. Sorry.
Thanks.
Less clear than it might have otherwise been.